Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
By now, who needs a house out in Hackensack? Is that all you get for your money? And it seems such a waste of time. What it's all about.
It's a great song.
Mama, if that's moving up, then I'm
moving out.
Moving out. You gotta let, if you don't love the Chris Schaefer tying in a song to the forecast bit, just
get out of here.
Just get out of
get
here.
Get out of here.
Just delete yourself. We're uninterested. We're uninterested.
Best well, part is that the folks on the YouTube weren't hearing Billy. They were only hearing you.
That's
so.
That is.
I don't know if we should apologize for that. Or
hard to say. Hard to say. Welcome to Drive Time with DeRussia. If you do enjoy this show on YouTube, we would appreciate a subscribe. If you click the subscribe button. Here, let me just tell you why.
I mean, it's free. Let's just start there.
It's free. I need 1,000 subscribers. That's it. The boss said, like, Cook, DeRussia, you're the only show that's on YouTube. If we can't get 1,000 subscribers from YouTube clowns, you're done. Was pretty much the subtext that I got.
Yeah, that's the way I heard it.
So help save our jobs. Just go to YouTube. You don't even have to watch it. We don't care. Go to YouTube.
Yeah, you can turn off notifications so it doesn't bother you or nothing.
But like this way, when we do something good, we cut it into a video.
Yeah.
And so far, after like 6 months of streaming, we've made 3 videos.
At least 3.
Yeah. Like a couple times we do a good segment, we throw it up there. And you can join the chat on YouTube, too. You can participate via text, via YouTube, however you want to do it. So we appreciate that. Since I'm doing some business, usually I come out of the gate with like a big hot take, and I got one for you.
I know.
Too.
I can't wait for this one.
But I do want to remind you that tomorrow will be a special day here at CCO Radio. It's going to be a little different than a normal day. We are turning over our entire broadcast day to a fundraiser to raise money to beat blood cancer. And this radio auction is so cool. Every half hour, you'll have a chance to bid on another item. And these are like super cool, kind of, I don't know, one-of-a-kind items that you couldn't normally buy. They're experiences. And on this show, we've got like a progressive dinner in the North Loop where me and my wife will join you and we'll go to dinner. We'll go to another restaurant for drinks. We'll see where the night takes us, is what I'm saying. We've got an in-home wine party from Certix. We got 2 nights in a suite plus breakfast at the Four Seasons Minneapolis. And especially I'm trying to give people a heads up about this one, because if you have some young Minnesota Twins yes. fans in your life, the Twins have donated Dugout Buddies experience. So you get to take these 2 kids. They sit right in front of the dugout during batting practice. And then the players, as they come over, meet your kids.
Yes.
You could take pictures. You can bring stuff for them to sign, whatever. It's pretty like.
It's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
It's unreal. I'm like, can I bet on this for me? No.
No.
It's for no. for a kid.
For a kid. But you could bet on it, but you'd have to find some
I'd
kids.
I'd have to find some kids.
Yeah.
I have a couple of kids in my life that if you're not ponying up enough, I will bet on
there
this.
There you side. Go.
So we'll do it all between 3 and 6 tomorrow. If you want to preview the items, you can check it out at my Instagram page or my Facebook page. I posted all of the things we have. I agree with President Donald Trump but it makes me feel a little skeezy. I think the president is correct that we have too many international students in American colleges. The reasoning we have is a little different. The emotional, empathetic side of this is quite different. I do not see a good reason why America's universities should have 25, 35, 45, 50% international students, because the reality is that does mean there are American students who are not getting into those schools. 651-461-9226. I think Trump is right about this. Today, he was asked again on this, because all of this ties into his idiotic war against Harvard, which is cloaked in this language about standing up for the Jews. Donald Trump doesn't like lippy college students. That's the bottom line of all of this, which is why for me to say I agree with the end result of his tortured, ridiculous logic feels skeezy to me. But I do think we have to question, why does Harvard have 31% international students? Why does New York University have almost 50% international students? And we know why. Money. International students pay 100% tuition, generally speaking. Americans get financial aid, get scholarships in some cases. And so you could argue that people from China or India or Europe are subsidizing and reducing the cost of higher education for Americans. And I would say I don't think it really is making a significant difference. And it would be better for America to have Americans being educated at our country's finest university. Here is Donald Trump today. So now, when you hear the current president talking about this, I urge you to bring the same approach that I brought, which is plug your nose, think about what he's saying, discard it, and then think about the bottom line here, which is I do not understand why we have hundreds of thousands of students coming here on visas, which means American students are not getting into these universities. Here's the president today on this topic.
Target. Okay, Harvard has to show us their lists. They have foreign students. About 31% of their students are foreign-based, almost 31%. We want to know where those students come. Are they troublemakers? What countries do they come? And we're not going to, if somebody is coming from a certain country and they're 100% fine, which I hope most of them are, but many of them won't be. You're going to see some very radical people. They're taking people from areas of the world that are very radicalized, and we don't want them making trouble in our country. So I saw yesterday that in the middle of the UK, there was a nice young man. He wants to go back to school at Harvard, and he looked good to me, but I want to check his passport. But we want to be able to see why, you know, these countries aren't helping us. They're not investing.
All right, just hang on for a moment and just drink that in. The president of the United States heard something yesterday about a nice young man from the UK who wants to go to Harvard.
You know, he looked good to him.
Looked good to me. We gotta look at the background. I mean, buddy, it looked like a white guy from the UK, and I think he, you know, oh my goodness. Like I said, it makes me feel skeezy. I obviously am close to this scenario because both of my kids have just gone through the process of applying to many of the elite colleges, and by elite colleges, just save your sanctimonious tax, because a stereotypically elite university isn't necessarily, you know, there's a good school for everyone, blah, blah, but you know what I'm talking about. USA Today published a list of schools that have some of the highest percentage of international students. And obviously, bigger schools are going to have more international students. But New York University has 27,000 international students out of a student body of 62,000. Northeastern in Boston, 21,000, almost half of Northeastern is international students. Columbia, which has been the center of a lot of the protests, and again, another university that has gotten the attention of the White House, and this is students who are pro-Palestine. In many cases, many of those students have been racist and anti-Semitic towards Jews. In other cases, it's college students protesting, which is what college students do. Freedom of speech is something we, I think, value, and the freedom to protest.
Sure.
20,000 international students at Columbia out of 35,000 kids. So like Seth applied to Columbia, didn't get in. I just chalked it up to like, well, you know, you don't get in.
It's a really hard,
really hard school to get into. Well, if 20,000 out of the 35,000 seats are being taken up by people not from this country, that is irritating to me.
Sure. And you can make the financial argument, too, like you talked about earlier, that, you know, foreign students pay full freight. But if you're talking about a school like Harvard, I mean, they've got a $53 billion endowment.
Yeah.
They're not hurting for money. So to say, well, we want to reserve 30%+ of our seats for foreign students and try to make an argument that that's somehow, you know, balancing books, that doesn't fly.
Howard is in Minneapolis on the CCO Talk and Text line, 651-461-9226. Howard, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
I no longer say President Trump. I say Emperor Trump. This is political retribution because his son was denied admission at Harvard.
Yeah, I mean, his war on Harvard is, you know, I mean, to me, it is depressing, right? That this war on one university is not really based on policy. It does allow him to signal to his voters that he's against the elites. So he gets a win on that because let's be real, like how many people like Harvard? Not many. But if you started looking at the fact that the University of Minnesota, quite a bit of the research that is done at the U is funded by federal money, and this war on higher education and grants is going to affect some of the research we're able to do here in town, I wonder if that changes views, but I don't know. I think America is in this sort of anti-expert, anti-elite moment.
Harvard is a flagship. It's our first college. Transform the world through our Ivy League schools. So to attack them for cheap political points,
yeah,
is pathetic.
So do you think that there is a good reason to have, if his numbers are right, 31% of Harvard students be from other countries?
They are entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
The story is an immigrant story. And those students come and help create the companies that employ Americans.
But wouldn't we have that same success if you had Americans in those seats that would then be the entrepreneurs who would start the companies?
Look at Japan. We need workers. We need immigrants. That's how you keep this economy the way it is.
Well, there's no, I agree with you 100% on that. Howard, thank you. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. 651-461-9226. Lots of texts. More callers coming in as well. We'll listen to your feedback on this. Talking about international students at colleges when we come back. As a dad of two kids who have just gone through the college application process, I am empathetic to the argument that too many of these limited seats are being taken by people from foreign countries. The federal government right now, I think, is not motivated by any sort of justice or opportunity to people who are Americans in this. I think this is really about retribution against big time universities that have had a lot of protests, which is what makes it skeezy and gross to me. That said, I do not see a major benefit to our country to filling those seats with people who are here on a visa, on a student visa. Let's go to Mark in Minneapolis at 651-461-9226. The State Department saying they were going to suspend those student visa conversations. Harvard has been battling in court for good reason. I hope Harvard wins. Like, I don't like the way that Donald Trump has been going about this. But this overall discussion that maybe we have more international students in our colleges than is in our national interest does resonate with me. What do you think, Mark?
I have to part ways with you on this one a little bit.
Okay.
I went to a state university. I went to Southwest Minnesota State, got a good education, loved it. But I think you're missing one key point of this whole foreign students. I do think there's a benefit in having international students on a campus. We did at Southwest State. It really added a lot to the experience. But I think you're forgetting one thing, or missing one thing, at least not that I've heard you talk about, and that is the difference between private colleges and universities and state colleges and universities.
Hmm.
If it's a public institution, I'd be more inclined to agree with you.
Yeah.
If it's a private university, they do what they want to do, and I can't see getting worked up about that.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think
that's that's a fair point, Mark. I mean, and certainly, like, some of our public universities have this same sort of situation. The University of Illinois, which the sort of the big university in that state, has 15,000 international students out of 56,000. Is Purdue public or private? I don't remember. 12,000 international at Purdue out of 52,000. So you're getting up to 20% there. I mean, me, like, I agree with what you're saying. I think in its best sense, you know, exposing people to a global perspective and a global society is a good thing. What I wonder about sometimes is whether or not is this sort of a fantasy of ours, or is this really happening on schools? Now my perspective is, you know, I have a son who's a computer science major, and so he has a lot of international kids in his classes. But and he says those kids pretty much keep to themselves. Like, there's not, you know, if the school isn't, like, sort of creating an environment where you're going to have cross-cultural exchange, then you're essentially just educating people over here so they can get a notch on their resume that they went to a big-time American university. And maybe they stay here, maybe they go home. I don't know. It does make me uncomfortable to think that there are qualified American citizens who aren't getting these seats because a school wants to have a certain percentage of international students.
Yeah, I'd be real interested to see if anybody really did have, like, quotas. Okay,
yeah,
we need
X
percent of Europeans, X percent of you know, Asian students. I don't know that that's the case, but it would be interesting. But I would think there's got to be a differentiation between public universities and private, and what the private folks want to do, that's their thing.
Yeah, good point, Mark. Very good. Appreciate the call. Thank you. And thanks to everybody who texted in. Lots of people talking about higher education being a product, that international folks pay a lot of money for it, so be it. In the best scenario, if you really are doing cross-cultural situation and learning, then there's a benefit to that. Is that benefit enough to take that seat away? There are finite seats at these schools. That's the issue. Harvard accepts, what, 1,800 kids? So if 30%, are from Europe and China and India and all around the world, well, the federal government is spending a lot of money in research grants. Do you want to spend your money there? I think that's the question. As I said at the beginning, the Trump reasoning for this, that ain't my reasoning. But the conversation, I think, is worthy. 4:32, let's break. I am nervous about our Minnesota resorts with summer coming and Canada ticked at us. We're going to talk to the tourism group in Cook County. We're going up north. We're going to talk about that.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lemonade! Fresh squeezed lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
We come back. Some estimates are that 20% fewer Canadians are going to come to the United States. And I do acknowledge that I just spent a segment talking about how we don't need so many international students at our universities and colleges. But I would like the Canadians to come visit Minnesota, especially up north. Border crossings from Minnesota into Minnesota from Canada have seen a four-month decrease, according to the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency. Tourism is so important to our state. And this, well, I'll tell you, I am concerned about this, but I also am encouraged that there's a real opportunity for Minnesotans to find a place to stay, which might have been a challenge in typical summers. But I don't know if everybody has a full handle on the urgency of this situation. So I wanted to visit with Linda Jurek, who is the executive director of Visit Cook County, which is the Lutzen, Grand Marais, Gunflint Trail area. Linda's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Thanks for being with us, Linda.
Yeah, no problem. Nice to hear from you. Hi, nice to hear your voice.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Now, why don't you lay it on me? How concerned is Cook County? How concerned are some of the hotels and the resorts and the campgrounds in your part of the state about Canadians being sort of ticked off at the U.S. right now?
Well, I would say there's an element of concern. I do believe we set ourselves apart a little bit here in Minnesota, like you just said. Tourism, huge economic driver, especially here in northeastern Minnesota, where we are very dependent. 81% of our economy is dependent on our tourism traffic. So any decrease in that, we're going to feel.
81% is tourism up
there?
Wow.
Yep.
How about that?
That is absolutely crazy. And I don't think it's repeated too often, especially when you're a one road in, one road out community.
Right.
Highway 61, beautiful North Shore Drive. And we are a border crossing here in Cook County, of course, up into Thunder Bay, Port Arthur. And we're one of three in the state of Minnesota. So all that said, all that layered in there, you have to take into account many, many things. For sure, those three border crossings and us being one of them and the ability to get into Minnesota from Canada. And then I think really importantly, you have to think of the strength of the Canadian dollar and the American dollar. And right now we're at 71 cents in Canada for the American dollar. So like it's harder for them to think about coming here, right?
Sure,
you know, you have that exchange rate. That said, only anecdotal for us, we have some folks saying, yeah, we're seeing a decline. I think it's very important to remember that we have not returned to our pre-COVID numbers when travel across the border was completely banned.
Oh, okay.
So there's layered analytics here.
Yeah, like trying to figure out how much is Canadians who are mad about the 51st state talk, the tariff talk, how much is the declining dollar, and how much is lingering effect from just the challenge in border crossing during COVID.
Right. You're spot on. Hmm. And we watch that very regularly.
Yeah.
Again, very anecdotally, we had a, you know, biking event here last weekend, the Le Grand du Nord, you know, 650 gravel grinding crazy cyclists going 100 miles off into hinterland. And I ask anybody who's planning events here, and we do have some really great outside event coordinators, if they're seeing a drop in Canadian participants, and there isn't. So if that's a marker,
that would seem to be a pretty good indicator. Although if you were specifically coming for an event, maybe you still want to do that event. I don't know. Interesting.
Exactly. Exactly. And then also, again, not anecdotally, I talked to our lodging property owners, which is, you know, the bane of our existence with lodging tax collection. That's how we exist as a destination marketing organization. Some of them are down. We have a partnership with many campgrounds, and they will say it doesn't really matter. We're a very, very tourism-driven area, so there's usually a waiting list. So if somebody drops off, somebody is usually filling in.
So interesting, yeah.
Right, right.
And you guys, I wonder if your area, as we're visiting with Linda Jurek from Visit Cook County, if you have maybe a little bit more resilience as a market, because if you want to go to the Boundary Waters, you want to go to the Boundary Waters. If you want to go to the Gunflint Trail, you want to go to the Gun. You know what I mean? Like
exactly.
And you do have, you probably have capacity for a lot more lodging than you even have available up there, right? The demand is there, at least during a limited season, the demand is through the roof.
Right, right, exactly. You know, and then I'll float back into that economic driver of it being tourism. So we do have, you know, we have short-term rentals, we have mini lodgings, we count pillows, we have nearly 7,500 pillows in this county.
Oh, interesting.
To lay your head on. So, right. You know, it's a...
What a great... What a brilliant metric, by the way, because when you think...
Right,
that's... I don't know. I cover restaurants throughout Minnesota, and I wish there were a metric of how many chairs there are, because it's not about how many restaurants. Like, if you have one restaurant closed that has 300 seats, and you have five restaurants open that each have 25 seats, like, it's a different, it's different.
Exactly. It's a totally different conversation.
Yeah, but the pillows what a great metric.
We were able to get into that number a little bit more. We did a big economic study on the impact of tourism about a year and a half ago, and our marker came in at 1.2 to 1.3 million visitors a year to northeastern Minnesota.
Wow.
And that's all four seasons. However, predominantly, you know, July, August, September, October, sure. There are big months.
So what is the takeaway, Linda Jurek from Visit Cook County? I know, like, certainly there are many places around Minnesota that do rely on Canadian visitors or other international visitors, or even if you don't rely on it, the reality is some of those rooms are being taken up by people who maybe aren't coming. Is there a little more opportunity for Minnesotans who maybe haven't been up to Grand Marais in a while to find a place to stay?
Most definitely. And I would say you would be able to find a place to stay all summer long, especially if you want to come midweek and you want to avoid, you know, the Friday, Saturday traffic. There's always something good and great going on. And of course, like you said earlier, access to the Boundary Waters, access to inland lakes, access to a large number of federal campgrounds, state campgrounds. It's pretty incredible up here.
Linda, you have a pretty good gig. I got to be honest. I mean, look, every part of this state is beautiful, but let's be real. Like, marketing Cook County isn't the worst. It's not the worst area to try to say, come and visit. You just show a couple pictures and we're like, all right, we're...
I know. Exactly. And I'm not going to say it out loud, but I'm going to whisper it. The bugs aren't out yet.
Oh.
There's no mosquitoes. It's crazy.
Linda knows how to sell the region, for sure. It's really good.
Got it.
Well, I hope Minnesotans know that this summer, you know, if you're looking for the staycation type experience, like, this is a good, you know, everybody's watching their money and watching the economy and all of that, but it is a great opportunity to kind of take a look at our state as if we were a visitor, you know?
Exactly.
Very good.
Exactly. Let's welcome our Canadian friends.
Yeah. We're pro-Canada. We want those Canadians. We want their money.
Completely pro-Canada.
We want their money. Let's go, Canada. Linda Jurek from Visit Cook County. We appreciate it, Linda. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. Anytime.
Linda was great. Anytime Linda wants to come up. Linda could co-host this show. She's good. Very good. All right, 4:47, we'll break. Would you rather be on an airplane with a pigeon flying around or with a stinky guy who's got his shoes off next to you? Which would you prefer? We're going to talk about birds on a plane when we come back. Did you see this video of the pigeon on the plane, on the Delta plane? This is a Minnesota Delta flight. Two pigeons got on board the plane. Now, I can only assume that those pigeons were waiting. Like, they called group one and group two, and the pigeons were probably already standing up, kind of crowding the gate, waiting for their chance to get in. The video of this, so I'm thinking about my wife, who is, she hates birds. She hates birds.
So she would not have handled this well.
She would have straight up freaked. Absolutely freaked. It was hilarious watching ABC News last night. I want you to hear very serious, very pretty newsman David Muir.
Here in the U.S., and two pigeons delaying the Delta flight from Minneapolis, St. Paul to Madison, Wisconsin. One pigeon taken off by baggage handlers, then the plane taxiing for takeoff. And look at this, that other pigeon suddenly flying through the cabin, heading back to the gate. Air traffic control clearly in disbelief.
Oh, clearly.
Here in the U.S., and two pigeons delaying the Delta flight.
Yeah. Clearly. Clearly. And then they play the air traffic control audio. Whoa, I don't think I ever saw that before. Now we know snakes.
Yeah.
Nobody wants snakes
nope.
on a plane. Of the things on a plane, a pigeon flying around would be up there as far as like freaking you out.
I mean, it wouldn't be great.
I've had a bat in my garage before. I've had a bat in the house before. That's a little
We've alarming. Had a bat in the radio station before.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that it's nice to talk about Chad that way, but
why would you? No, we literally had a bat fall out of the ceiling in the newsroom.
Huh.
This is not a joke. This actually happened.
Wow.
I forget who it was, but somebody ended up getting it into a box and getting it outside. But
was it Jeff McKinney?
No. I don't think it was Jeff.
Bruce Hogovic?
I don't recall.
No, it was a bat.
It was a literal one of those animal. This is not, there's no metaphor or joke or funny here.
It's that's for damn sure.
Literally happened.
You got that right. Absolutely not. Would you rather have a pigeon flying around at the beginning of the flight, a freak out moment for sure, or sit next to somebody who is barefoot? You know, a lot of people like to slide the old.
I'll take the pigeon because that's going to get dealt with fairly quickly.
Yeah.
And I'm always like a window seat guy.
Mm.
So the odds of the pigeon getting down under the baggage, you know, things and getting at me, very low. Versus, you know, the barefoot person is going to be there the whole flight.
Would you be the hero?
No.
So in this video,
we just stop you right there. No.
There's a guy who stands up and uses his jacket and catches the bird. I would for sure be the hero.
I could see you doing that.
I would give it a go.
Yeah.
But I'd probably like use my wife's jacket or something.
Well, I mean, you
she
don't
always
get yours.
Has a jacket. I don't have a
yours
jacket.
Is very nice, you know. J.H. and Sons.
She
the perfect coat for catching a pigeon on the plane.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.